Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a joy and an honor to be with you here as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth at Cokes Church. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm looking forward to the service. But before we get started, I have several announcements to make prior to the commencement of our worship. First of all, good news, ladies. The Presbyterian Women's Circle meetings will resume this coming Tuesday, November 14th, and you're invited to attend either the morning circle at 10:30 or the evening circle at 7 p.m. And Natalie, my wife, is leading that 7 o'clock circle, right? Because Johnny's out of town. She's excited. The Operation Christmas Child is going on now through November 19th. Most of the items that are most needed are listed in our weekly newsletter, and collection boxes are in the Narthex and Ed building today. So please make sure to avail yourself of those and participate in this really life-changing ministry. You know, it's interesting to learn more about it. You know, you think about the impact of just a box and some books and the Bible would have, and it's significant. But that program is designed to continue to stay with those kids and provide a curriculum for them throughout the year. So it's an ongoing blessing that begins with a box, and so we're excited that you are helping to take part in that ministry. Next week is going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, it's a little different than we've done in the past, but we'll celebrate the coming of the holiday season by coming here and decorating the sanctuary in light of the Yule season. And guys, that's always such a fun time to come and with your friends and family members and church family to, you know, experience that decorating together. And then this year, you know, we're going to go to the sports page afterwards and have a meal in their back room. If you're interested in attending that meal, please let Denise Veed know. And her number was listed wrong for a period of time. We apologize about that. So it's correct now, but Denise is here today. If you'd let her know, that'd be awesome. Okay. We're looking forward to the Queen City Ringers ringing us into the Christmas spirit with their handbell Christmas concert Saturday, December 2nd from 4 to 5:30 p.m. in our sanctuary. As you know by now, Bonnie Pace and Clayton are part of that group, so be sure to reserve that day and a time to join us. We'll receive a love offering for this group during a brief intermission. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of our fathers Jack King and James Keller, who served in the Navy, and in honor of all the veterans of Cook Church by Reg and Kathy King. Kelly has an announcement to make, and hopefully we'll get your mic all ready to go. Let's see. Maybe that'll work.
Does that
work? Yes.
Good morning. I'm in charge of doing the angel tree this year, and I picked River Oaks Academy. They have 573 students. 81% of the students are at free or reduced lunch and have 19 homeless children as of last Tuesday. They are wanting gift cards for places like Walmart, Target, and Five Below, and they'll take any amount, $5, $10, $20, whatever you're willing to give me. Their only thing is that they get gift receipts for the gift cards, because in the past they've tried to use gift cards and they wouldn't work. So, and it will start next Sunday, and I'm having a meeting with her on December the 12th, so I need everything by December the 10th. And if you don't feel like going out, you can give me cash, and I'll go get the gift cards, and I'll bring you a receipt. Thank you much.
That instruction is significant. So when you get these gift cards, if you just make sure to have a gift receipt printed and then attach it to the card before you turn it into the church, that way we can ensure that that the people are getting valid cards. Those are the announcements we have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregations? Okay.
I just wanted to mention that next Sunday is actually the last Sunday to turn in Operation Christmas Child boxes. If you want us to take them to the delivery point. If you want to do your own thing, you can go to the website, see all these other churches that are taking up the boxes. Monday week is absolutely, it's over. So that they plan it that way, that the last day be the Monday after the last Sunday, so that we can turn them in at the last minute. That's what we're going to do. But next Sunday's it. And just put them on the shelves in the narthex, or you can put them over here in this left wing if you want to, on the pews. Either way, I'll find them.
Okay, any other announcements? All right, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let us turn our hearts to the Lord in trust and hope.
We place our trust in the Lord, seeking His steadfast love.
In the midst of life's challenges and uncertainties,
we rest in the Lord's guidance and in His righteous ways.
As we gather to worship today, may our hearts still be.
And may our souls find peace in the presence of our God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather in your presence today, we've come with hearts open to receive your word and your grace. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as a community of faith, seeking your wisdom and guidance in our lives. We're mindful, O Lord, of the cares and concerns that often weigh heavily on our hearts. In a world filled with distractions and anxieties, we turn to you, our steadfast anchor. We remember the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us not to worry about our lives, what we will eat or drink or what we'll wear. Lord, help us release our anxieties and cast our burdens upon you. In the name of worship, may your Spirit fill our hearts with peace and assurance, knowing that you are our provider and our protector. We pray that as we think of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and how you care for them, that we'll come to that deep realization of how much more you care for us. May your word come alive in our hearts, guiding us to a deeper trust in your provision and a greater faith in your unfailing love. We also lift up to you those among us who are facing challenges, uncertainties, and worries. May your comforting presence be surrounding them, and may they find strength in knowing that you are with them in every situation. In Jesus' name, we make all these prayers. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me, those of you who are able, in the singing of our first hymn, number 60. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to the disciples, showing them his hands and his side. He said to them simply, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, as they filled with anxiety and worry, he spoke to them again, encouraging them that as the Father had sent him, so too he would send them. As we carry Jesus Christ's message of peace and share it with the world, the anxieties of this time and place come down. So let us celebrate our calling to pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ now as a preparation for what we do with the remainder of our lives. We're led now into a time of confession of our sin, which is a difficult thing when we think of it logically. It's difficult to look at ourselves and to analyze and to realize that it's us that are wearing the black hat. It's us that are falling short of the mark. It's us that are failing. And yet, as we confess, we open up a pathway to healing through our Lord Jesus Christ. We find ourselves better served having come clean with what God had already known to begin with. And so we confess as the means by which we approach God with the knowledge that the closer we draw to Him, the closer He draws to us. So let us boldly now confess our sins corporately together and silently in our hearts with the expectation of encountering God's amazing grace. Join me, the words are found in this morning's bulletin. Gracious and merciful God, as we come before your presence today, we are reminded of your loving care for us, the beauty of your creation, and your promise to provide for our needs. Yet, Lord, we confess that there are times when we let worry consume our hearts. We allow the anxieties of life to overshadow our trust in your abundant provision. Forgive us, O Lord, for the moments when we doubt your faithfulness and question your loving care. Forgive us for the times when we strive to accumulate more than we truly need, failing to seek first your kingdom and righteousness. Help us, dear God, to release our worries, fears, and desires for earthly possessions. Teach us to place our trust in you alone, knowing that you are our steadfast refuge and provider. May we seek your ways and delight in your presence, finding our contentment in your unfailing love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the great and wonderful news that Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, took flesh and came to earth, living and breathing and then dying for us and for our salvation. In his death, we have been made, his death was the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and thus we are reconciled to God forever and ever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Christianity is a faith defined by what it believes derived from the Word of God, and we create these creeds and confessions, and they are means by which we profess the truth of the gospel. So join me as we use the Apostles' Creed to give context and content to our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 54.
Thank you.
It's so good to have the choir back in the loft today because I can delude myself into thinking that I sing okay with y'all's voices behind me. So that was not the case last week. We come now into a time that's designed just for our kids. So let's send them down and they get a special time for Jesus that's just for them. You want me to sing? I thought Ben said he wanted me to sing the children's message. I'm not going to sing Taylor Swift, no. But it was, you know, it's worth talking about. Well, it's good to see you. How is everybody doing today? School's going all right? Well, I want to talk to you about a particular teacher of mine that I had as I was growing up. Now, this was a little bit older. I was a junior in high school. And I don't know, you'll see as you move forward into grades. The further along you go, the stress level seems to go up. You're probably experiencing it. This is your first year in middle school, yeah? Yeah. So it's a little bit harder, isn't it? And this is your first year in upper school, yeah? Right? A little bit harder, isn't it? And so as things go forward, they get a little tougher. Junior year is tough to begin with. And I had for English this woman named Julia Britt, Miss Britt, we called her. And she was tough. She had no problems giving me the grades I so richly deserved, which were like C's and D's at the time, right? Well, I turned in a paper that I thought a lot of. And when I received it back, yeah, let's just say it did not have the robust grade that I had expected. And I let Miss Britt know that my life was over, because in my mind, that was it, right? I had traced it all out. If I don't do well in AP, you know, English and history, then I won't go to a good college. I won't have a good career. I won't meet a nice woman. I'll just die miserable, alone, and broke. That was my thinking at the time. So her giving her this bad grade on the test was it was heartbreaking. It was a paper, actually. And she said something to me, and I didn't realize the profundity and the wisdom of it at the time. I just got more mad. And Miss Britt looked at me and she said, "Jason Bryant, don't worry, it'll all be over 100 years hence." Right? Which was her way of saying, like, chill out, relax, you're going to be dead in 100 years, right? What I have come to know is that, you know, I did make a bad grade on that paper, and rightly so. I didn't spend a lot of time on it. But you know what? My life wasn't ruined. I'm here. I have a job that I love. I have a family that I love. I have friends that I love. I have a church that I love. I mean, you know, everything worked out. We're going to talk today about a particular passage in Luke's gospel in which he's going to tell us not to worry so much. And I hope we hear it, because I know that as kids, sometimes it's easy to forget that y'all have worries and things that bother you too. And I want you to hear the good news. It will all be over 100 years hence. You will get through whatever you're going through because Jesus is with you in the here and now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus will always be with you as we die, we go on to eternal life. So I want you to find peace and contentment in this world, and don't let the worries of school or friends or peer pressure get to you, because there is a God that loves you, the God that is providing for you, and the God will always provide for you. And you will find a contented life in him. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your many blessings. Continue to bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Our special this week is one of the most popular songs that Jason and I will sing in the prison. The men just love this, and so we sing it every time, every reunion we sing it. It's called "My God is Awesome."
My God is awesome.
we come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word with the expectation of encountering God's grace in the process. We Presbyterians believe that God speaks to us perfectly and without peer through our readings of his holy and everlasting word, insisted and enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. We come and drink deeply of this font of living water because we believe and know that it provides us with the distillation of God's wisdom for our day. So let us come now into this time of reading and proclamation with a prayer to God. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, and descend upon us now. Give us the ears to hear, O Lord. Allow us to break through the clutter of the week, the disappointments or the successes, and allow our minds to turn off the buzz and the constant white noise of modernity. Allow us to soak richly in your word, to hear the words themselves and to know their deep and true meaning. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. And this psalm vividly contrasts the wicked person with the righteous person. So listen as I read Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow and to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish and vanish like smoke. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thanks. You know, one of the things that the world's great tyrants have known throughout history is that nothing will so quickly break our wills than fear. And that fear, whether it be of something known or unknown, will allow us to be manipulated and maneuvered like nobody's business. And you see, I think that as we look around, we see that the world places us in a bit of a mold. That is to say that the world wants us to do and accomplish certain things. Largely, they want us to spend money, right, and to experience things. And they put us in that mold. But you see, that mold doesn't work very well for us. You see, the more and more we're driven by materialistic desires, the more and more we think not of what we can do for other people, but what can be done for us. There is a staggeringly bad outcome, and the outcome is that we grow more and more fearful. And in that fear, we become easier and easier to manipulate, and in some ways, it may seem like we've reached the tipping point where our frightened selves have become so malleable as to see all sorts of crazy things transpire in front of us. And yet, in our fear, we won't challenge what we know is wrong. We need to break that mold. We need to change perceptibly the ways that we encounter the world and the ways that we deal with it. And in that change, we're going to find not only a burgeoning of our power, but we'll also find a peace that surpasses all understanding, because we'll be aligning ourselves with what God would have us do to begin with. But in order to do that, we got to let go of some of the junk, the garbage of this modern world. And one of the things that's most clearly left in the waste bin is our love of things and possessions. And Jesus, thankfully, speaks about this voluminously. He talks about it on a number of occasions. We looked at one passage last week. I've chosen another for us this week. We look at Luke, the 12th chapter. I read verses 22 through 34. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glories was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all of the nation of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I read a little while ago that there is a, I don't know that you'd call it a disorder, but really maybe a quirk in our certain people's brain chemistries that allow them to know exactly where they were and what they were doing for every hour and every minute of every day. I think it would be a terrible burden to live with, to be honest about it, but I'm sure that Mary Lou Henner, as an actress, has this condition, if you're looking for somebody to read more about and understand more about it. I don't have that affliction or that condition, but I can tell you exactly where I was on March the 6th of 1982 at 10 in the morning. Now, you know, sometimes dates like those, you might remember your wedding date, right, your anniversary, but most days are kind of go into that gray cloud of nameless and anonymous days, and you think, well, that happened, but I don't know really when it did. But, well, on March 6th of 1982 at 10 o'clock, I can tell you exactly where I was. I was at the Richway, which for those of us who are a little bit aged in the years and have gray in our temples, right, we know that Richway was the original, what became Target. And I was standing out at the one on Tivola Road in Charlotte, North Carolina at 10 a.m. that morning because it was an auspicious day. It was a great day, really, or so I thought it was going to be. It was the day that my beloved video game Pac-Man was coming out on the home Atari 2600 video game system. I was going to get to be able to play Pac-Man at home, man, and nothing got me more excited than that. So in 1982, I talked my parents into it, and my dad, I wanted to go at 6 in the morning to get in line, but my dad would have none of it. He said we'd leave at 9:30, and we could get there right as the store opened at 10. But as we pulled into the parking lot, and I saw a queue of customers, I knew they weren't there for Similac, right? They were there for that video game. So at about a couple of minutes to 10, a man came out and said, "All right, in order to contain the confusion of y'all, we're going to give the people we have the game to a numbered token, a ticket, right? If you get that ticket, you just come into the store and we'll give you the copy, no problems. If you don't get a ticket, we're sorry. Come back next time. So I just wish you could have seen me. I mean, because I'm looking down the line, right? And that guy starts giving out those tickets and I'm straining. I'm like, how many does he got, right? He's handing them out. No kidding. He got to four people in front of me and I could see the last ticket be handed out. I was not going to get a Pac-Man for my 2600 that day. It was heartbroken. And, of course, I took it out on Dada the whole way back because, you know, if we'd been there at 6 and probably, you know. But, I mean, this was 1982 and there wasn't the internet. So in my mind, what was happening is all these lucky people that had gotten that video game were at home playing the most awesome video game that had ever hit the market and the most awesome home entertainment system. They were having the time of their lives. Well, a couple of weeks later, Target or Richway resupplied, and I was able to get a copy. But in those 2 weeks, I was miserable. All I wanted was my copy of Pac-Man. And I, you know, let people know I was pretty miserable, I think. The day came, I got it, and that's when it became apparent to me that Atari had engaged in a cash grab and had ported just a terrible game and called it Pac-Man, but it was not Pac-Man, it was bad. I was heartbroken, y'all. It just broke my heart. Just like last week, I wish I'd learned these lessons when I was 12, right? Because 11, because they're hard lessons to learn. But Jesus is talking about them very directly to us today in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. You know, there in Luke, we've just been told the parable of these barns that are overflowing. And the man says the rich fool is what he's called. He sees his barns filled up with grain and he says, I know what we'll do. We'll build bigger barns. But as we know in the parable, that night the man dies and his barn and his possessions are enjoyed by other people. That's a theme that the Bible comes to us and tells us time and time again, especially in works like Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, is that other people will ultimately consume that which we store in our barns. And that's okay if you're a Christian, but it becomes exceedingly difficult to bear if you're not. Because as I said, the workings of the world are to place us into this consumerist mold where our number one thing to do is to just go out and spend and buy, consume. That's our job. But when we're in that mold, what we run into is this thing called the hedonic treadmill, which I introduced a little bit last week, but I hope that we'll really get our minds around it because it really does give us a great image for the futility that we're in as we chase material riches. You see, there on this treadmill, what a psychologist has found is that things, when we acquire things, they give us a slight enjoyment increase, but that very quickly we return to the baseline of contentment where we were at to begin with. The only problem is now we're saddled with a fear. You see, even though my contentment level isn't getting any better, I'm glad that I have a car. And I worry that if I get in a wreck and that car is taken away from me, that I'll be in a less advantaged position. And I would be, not having a car. So you see, what happens is as we gain more material wealth, we don't get any appreciably happier, but we get what? More worried about losing things, right? So as the world tells us, go out and acquire and get more stuff, and we do, we get a little bump, but then we worry and we want more. It's a never-ending cycle, and it's one that leaves people broken and depressed and wondering at the state of the world. You know, I've got a good friend, and I'm talking about a lifelong friend. It's a guy that I met in high school, and you know, it's just so fortunate. He went out and in his first 10 years and worked, made enough money to cover his life, right, for the rest of it. But it hasn't gotten much beyond that. And in fact, I was at his father's funeral one time, and he said to me these eerie words. He said, you know, my contentment level is based on what my airline frequent flyer status is. And he was serious. He thought his happiness was dependent upon how many perks he could get from American Airlines. What? And he's saying this to me, and the irony of it, he's saying it to me in a Roman Catholic church that is just so beautiful in that time of year in Mississippi, and stained glass windows, and here is the majestic God revealing himself to us in this day. What he's focused on is what he's got. And those things can be changed, as he found out, because one year you go from being a top-level flyer, and the next year you start down at the bottom again. You have to earn your way up. He was experiencing his own hedonic treadmill. And see, the thing is, as we grow and we get these worries, right, that come as we acquire more and more material possession, and these fears tend to waylay us. Believe it or not, chronic physical illnesses rise in direct correlation to our anxiety level. Meaning, how we feel about ourselves internally in our headspace has a direct correlation on our physical beings. Which is why, as we have seen in this past 10 years, a nearly 80% increase in the number of people struggling with anxiety disorders. We've seen a concomitant rise in physical maladies, chronic diseases. We're getting sicker as we're getting richer, right? Isn't that wonderful? Good to know? Of course it isn't. Because the solution is, and it has always been, in front of us in Jesus Christ. You know, the answer isn't found in the accumulations or the trappings of more wealth and that which it brings, but is instead found and located in our relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Because what we find is as we allow ourselves to give up more and more of what we have, as we let go of these things that we think are making us happy, and we grab hold more and more of Jesus, then the results are demonstrable and even verifiable by modern scientific inquiry. People with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are less anxious, less fearful, more content, more peaceful. There is in this worship and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the ability to break out of that mold which so tightly binds us to sadness and physical illness. And it's found through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we've seen these trends in anxiety rise at COVID. We've seen them rise as a reaction to social media, and especially it's ravaging our young kids. Because there, when you're in those years where comparison is so important and influential in your life, and here are images of people experiencing all of life's wonders in front of you all the time, you're bound to become envious, anxious, and depressed. And that's what we're seeing in our kids. So what do? What do we say? What's our remedy? Well, it is, as it's always been, to seek not the things of this world, but to instead seek the kingdom of God. Because in seeking the kingdom of God and encountering Jesus, then God will lead us inexorably to the place where the world needs our assistance. Because that's what this gospel is about. Yes, it's about our salvation. Yes, it's about the contentment and peace we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yes, it is also about finding all of those rich blessings through the dedication of our life to other people. That is to say, without any mincing of words, that we're happier with less, we're more content with fewer. And that we find our peace, not as we seek to ensure our own, but as we seek to foster someone else's peace. You see, we're truly created in the image of God, which means that in some regards that our wiring is backwards. The world wires us to acquire things and to value ourselves more and more. But what the Bible tells us is to seek less and to give more. And to find peace and contentment, not in the amassment of wealth and riches, but in the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the results are there. And they're known and even validated by scientific inquiry. People with faith are contented more. We find, as Jesus speaks to us, this real awareness that God is at work in the world and that the richness and bounty of his blessings are sufficient for us in this world. I want to close by telling you just another story, another date that I can tell you exactly where I was and exactly what was going on at a particular point in time, but this one you might think is a little bit more understandable. The date is September 29th of 2008. I remember the day very clearly because it's the day that my son Benjamin was born. You know, we had on the 28th had a meal after church with my mom, and my mom had called to tell me on the phone, she's like, Natalie's going to have that baby tomorrow. And I was like, okay, Mom, right? Natalie's water broke at 2 in the morning that morning. Mom was right, and so we rushed to the hospital. What you don't know about September the 29th, I've told you it's Ben's birthday. It's also another significant day. It's the day the market melted down in 2008. I don't know if you remember where you were or what you were doing around those days, but I do. And I was fairly well, even though I was preaching in a church. I was still panicked about the state of things, but I had found a solution. My solution was Wachovia. Right? You can giggle, right? But Robert Steele, I think was the name of the guy, he came out and he said he'd invested his money in Wachovia. He was the president of the bank, and Wachovia was doing great. What we didn't know is they were actually negotiating with the government to cease operations. But I went all in on Wachovia. I thought it was going to be a great, great buy. We get done. Ben is born after a lengthy labor. And I come downstairs with my dad into the Caramont cafeteria. And, you know, I'm curious. Even though my son's born, I want to know what we're doing. So I flash and I see 17 by Wachovia. And I think, oh, that's pretty good. It was at 9. It's that point that I see there's actually a little decimal point there. It's not trading at $17. It's trading at 17 cents. Right? It's a wipeout. I want to tell you, because of the events of that day, because I had seen new life come into the world, because I was riding a high that God had put me on, right? It didn't freak me out. It didn't freak me out. And I realize as I think about that more and more as the years pass, is that there is therefore some level of spiritual maturity building up, and I want you to hold on to it and realize it could be for you as well. Because the more and more we focus on the things of what God is doing in this world, the more free that we are from the rise of anxiety on that hedonic treadmill that keeps us working and laboring but never feeling any more content. And what I can tell you is that God is working in your life now in a way that is going to lead you to greater joy than you can even imagine. But what it's going to take, and it's individual to us all, you'll have to find out what you need to let go of. What is the thing that's holding you back? And for many, it's this materialism. It's this thought that if we just get a bigger car, a bigger house, a bigger bank account, that everything's going to be okay. But as we've seen, that actually leads us to greater worry and despair, and that the only solution, only one that there ever has been, is to turn off that part of worry through turning on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, through scripture study, through helping other people. And then you'll find and know without question that God is at work and that your fears were not worth having. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to God those things that weigh down our souls. Recognize this is a broken creation, and in it we find all sorts of negative things, sickness, sadness, loss, mourning. And yet in and through them, God is working by the power of his Holy Spirit, and we know it in our hearts and feel it as we pray. So let us reach up to God now, fearlessly asking him for the things that truly satisfy us. Let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day and for this time to be together and worship you. Gracious God, we pray that you would break into the clutter and the litter of our lives and speak to us a clarifying word of peace. Allow us to let go of these things that bog us down, that keep us frightened, fearful, resentful, anxious, discontented. And instead, allow us by the power of your Holy Spirit to grab hold of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken our hearts, continuing to feed us with your spiritual wisdom. Let us drink from your living water so that we are replete with your wisdom and your joy. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves just as we pray for this world, knowing that it's broken. And Heavenly Father, we see the places of brokenness in Palestine and in Ukraine and in other places in the world where sadness and war ravages innocence. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that your descending power would come, providing peace and contentment and safety for all. Heavenly Father, allow us to turn away from war to beat our spears into plowshares, and to allow us to care more for others than we care about ourselves. And gracious God, we pray for this community, asking that you keep Charlotte safe. We know that there's a rise in illness that we're seeing. And Heavenly Father, we just pray for all the people that find themselves in the hospitals. We thank you for those of ours that have gone and have returned home safely, Father God. Just continue to watch out over all of them. We know that you know what they need, and we pray that you'll provide it. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning especially for Steve Self and for Elizabeth Bullock. We pray for Aline Gant and Jack Parker and Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Charlie McCrary and Jill Griffin and Sarah Justice and Tom McClure. Pray for Nancy and Richard Smith and all the many others that are in need of intercessory prayer. All things are yours, God, and to you alone belong all honor and power and glory. And we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. And we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, you bless us in so many ways. You take the words out of our mouths. You are so good. Yet, Heavenly Father, you call to us to return a portion of those blessings back to you, and in the giving, find ourselves filled with contentment. So, Heavenly Father, make us contented givers. Use this offering to do your work in your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, Miss Britt, as she spoke to me those many years ago, she said it'd all be over 100 years hence. You know, she was absolutely right. You know, so much of our lives are here today, gone tomorrow, and yet there is one thing that is solid and stable and true, and that is God, the awareness of Him and His goodness. And the more and more we dwell in that space of faith, and we dwell there richly, the more contentment, the more peace we experience. And the great news is the more people that we are able to help and show the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now may grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.